This is Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back. I'm Mark Bayshore. Michigan officials are admitting it's changed paths regarding the safety of drinking water in the city of Flint. A state government effort is now underway to address unsafe levels of lead in that city's drinking water. Late last week, Genesee County Health Authorities declared a public health emergency after learning that water in some parts of the city contains several times the levels of lead that it should. Lead poses a variety of serious health risks, especially to young people. Reports say tens of thousands of homes in the city have lead issues. Our next guest backs the state plan to improve Flint's water, but he has asked that all parties adopt more urgency to solve the problem. Democratic U.S. Congressman Dan Kildee represents Michigan's 5th District, which includes Flint, Saginaw, and Bay City. Congressman Kildee, welcome back to Current State.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Last Friday, after you were briefed by state officials, you called for immediate implementation of the state plan to clean up Flint's drinking water. Remind us what the focus of the state plan is.
Well, what I support really are the initial steps, which is to get filters to those individuals who have lead service lines, who have been really victimized by bad decision-making at every level of government, and get them immediate relief, temporary water, and then filters. The question as to what the path forward looks like to make sure that Flint residents have a permanent, safe water source really is a set of technical questions that have yet to be determined. So it's that initial few steps that, frankly, I think deserve even greater urgency that I support. I think there remains big questions about what the path forward looks like and who's responsible for what I think is a failure of government on one of the most fundamental questions that a government has to answer, and that is, you know, are we going to provide safe drinking water to citizens? That's a pretty fundamental question.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will talk a little bit more about what you think lay further down the road on this, but let me ask you first, 4 days after you called for immediate implementation of this state plan, are you satisfied with what you're seeing?
Well, from what I've heard, the filters are getting delivered to people who need them relatively quickly. My hope is that, and I think this is the case, that it's not just a matter of responding to those individuals who ask for filters or go to pick one up, but actually getting out to the houses where people may not have access to the internet, may not know that there's help available to them, people with young children, people who are elderly in particular. So I'm satisfied with the first few days, but I'm not satisfied, actually, that at the federal or state level, that there's been the sense of urgency and accountability that you'd like to see in a situation like this.
Well, let's kick around a little bit. What kinds of measures are required here for a longer-term, more comprehensive solution? Again, the measures announced last week would seem to be prudent short-term measures under the circumstances. How should the city solve this problem long-term? Does it need to go back to Detroit Water and stop pulling water out of the Flint River?
Well, there's the immediate, there's the intermediate, and then there's the long term. The immediate question, I think we've answered. The long term question really has been answered in that Genesee County is currently building a pipeline from Lake Huron to Flint, and it will be the primary source. So we people in the city of Flint, once the so-called Karagandhi water line is installed sometime next summer, they will have lake water. So it's the intermediate question. How do we get between where we are now and where we will be once we have that direct water source from Lake Huron? How do we make sure that that period is a period of that delivers safe water to Flint residents? This week there will be a meeting of the technical committee that is looking at those questions, and I'm going to look at that very carefully. The larger question, of course, is what damage has been done, both in terms of the reputation of the local government and the quality of the water distribution system as a result of this highly corrosive water having passed through Flint distribution water lines.
That some number of people, some of them young, some of them possibly pregnant, have ingested over recent months. That is indeed an alarming question. Earlier today, I spoke with Flint Mayor Dane Walling, who told me that it's important to identify funding that would enable Flint to reconnect with Detroit's water again, as well as to begin replacing aging infrastructure that's exacerbating this problem. Does addressing Flint's water problem constitute a serious financial challenge?
It sure does, and it's a financial challenge that has been made worse by some bad decisions that were made by someone, and all signs seem right now to point to the state of Michigan, but we're going to withhold judgment on that until we get to the facts. But yes, this will be a big financial question. It's part of a much larger set of questions that have to do with aging infrastructure in older cities and the lack of support for those older cities at the federal and at the state level. So we have a huge problem in this country with our infrastructure falling apart. We're now beginning to see the result of failing to deal with that problem. I look at this this crisis is partially being man-made by the decisions that were made to use the Flint River water source, but also partially a result of a complete abdication of responsibility at every level of government for these dilapidated infrastructure systems that just have not seen any kind of reinvestment.
State Senator Jim Ananick emphasized a couple of points yesterday to MERS News based here in Lansing, and I'll share these with our listeners just for those of our listeners who may not be totally up to speed with what created this situation in the first place. Senator Ananick said that, number one, Flint River water is more corrosive than the water coming from Detroit. So that's problem number one, and problem number two is that it sits in older pipes. Is that your understanding of what created this problem in the first place?
Yes, in part. I mean, from what we understand, the Flint River water is more corrosive by nature, but also made more corrosive because of the chemical treatment required in order to bring that up to a otherwise drinkable standard. And so the corrosive nature of that Flint River water should have been known to those who are involved in this science. So when the state made the decision, because the state was running the city of Flint at the time, when the state made the decision to go to the Flint River water source, they also made the decision to not treat the water for corrosion. And that turned out to really be a horrible lack of judgment and foresight on the part of whoever made that call, because it's that decision, against the advice of some of the technical advice that they had been provided, that led to leaching from these service lines into the water going into the home. It's the corrosive nature of the water that caused that problem.
Mm. DEQ spokesman Brad Werfel has acknowledged that state officials have, quote, been learning as we go, unquote, and that acknowledgement of the last few days comes after months of maintaining that Flint's water was safe. When you were briefed on Friday, Congressman Kildee, did you hear some kind of acknowledgement of this?
Well, actually, at that point in time, there were still fairly full-throated defense that the water was safe, that the test results that the state had contradicted the test results that we later heard from our local health alliance. And this is what concerns me more than anything, beyond obviously making sure that the residents have clean, safe drinking water. It wasn't so much that the state acknowledges that they were learning as they went. It's that they purported to me, to other public officials, and to the public that they actually knew what they were doing, and that they had it under control. It's one thing to learn as you go, but it's something else to imply that you know with certainty that the water is safe when you don't know and have been now later proven wrong. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging you don't have the technical knowledge to do something. You go get it. But they apparently failed to do that, and that's what's most troubling to me.
How serious an indictment is this? I mean, you've alluded to the fact that these were decisions that were influenced primarily by emergency managers in the city of Flint. How big is this a serious indictment more broadly of the emergency manager law? How do you feel about that?
It's very much an indictment of the process of the emergency manager law, which assumes that a city that is facing a financial crisis simply needs different management, and that that different management is the solution to a fiscal problem that has been the result of years of disinvestment, disinvestment by the state itself, disinvestment by the federal government. So it, this is an incredible, ironic case in point, where not only did outside management not solve the fiscal problem, but it looks like outside management may have actually caused an even bigger financial problem for the city of Flint. And so the idea that, you know, that the state knows all and can come in and simply take over this poor city and fix its problems, you know, implied that only the only thing they needed was a different manager, when what they really needed is investment. And the state has cut investment to cities and then comes in and tries to rescue them. It's a real indictment of that process. And I think it shows that the factors that contribute to fiscal stress in cities go way beyond who happens to be the mayor or the city manager. It has a lot to do with decisions made at the state and federal government level as well.
What do you say, though, to supporters of the emergency manager law who maintain that the only way to overcome budget shortfalls, the likes of which the city of Flint and the city of Detroit have struggled with and that have really tanked the economies, that more authority needs to be focused in fewer people? How do you respond to that fundamental argument?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree that there is some utility in having an emergency manager statute. The point that I would make is that by itself is far from sufficient to solve the fiscal problems that many of these cities face. So if the state, you know, just take this as an example, the state came in with a different manager and made some decisions that clearly would have been difficult for the local government to make. But that doesn't mean that those decisions were informed anymore. In fact, they made a decision to switch to the Flint River water, clearly lacking the basic knowledge of how a water system works. But they did it because on the balance sheet of the city, on the ledger, it looked like a good decision. And so they look at the balance sheet sustainability of a city, but not the actual sustainability of the city as a community. And to me, it just implies that these cities, all they need is somebody else, some adult, to come in and sort of take over, when the fact that these cities are in such trouble is partly because the state of Michigan, for example, over the last decade, cut $50 million of direct support to the city of Flint. The state itself cut revenue sharing $50 million worth, and then it's the state who comes in to try to solve a problem that they themselves contributed to creating, and they do it in a way that makes matters worse. If that's not an indictment of the emergency management system, I don't know what is.
We have just a few seconds left. I need to completely change gears with you here on the last few seconds. Your name's being thrown around as a candidate for governor of Michigan. A lot of your fellow Democrats think you'd be strong. Are you thinking about that?
Well, when the time comes, I'll think about it. Right now, my focus and intent is to stay here in Congress and do everything I can to change federal policy in a year or so. When that time comes, I'll take a look at it, but it's a ways off before I have to really think seriously about it.
Michigan Congressman Dan Kildee has been our guest. We've been talking about measures to make Flint's water safe to drink again, and he represents the state's 5th Congressional District in Washington. Congressman Kildee, many thanks.
Thank you so much.